Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan is in. You can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima live from 6 to 10 a.m. Subscribe on our channel for free and watch all of the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan each and every weekday. Again, he's Dan Menigan. I'm Andy Baskin. Matt Wilhelm's going to join us here in just a few moments. We're also going to have Tom Withers today. Tim May, you'll hear Kevin Stefanski's press conference, Two Keys in a Lock, and, of course, Quick Predicts coming up at the end of the show. Hop on in on this one, 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092, or on X at CLE Talking Heads. Simply put, do you believe in the Guardians? Is that an easier way to put it, or should it be? Or is it, do you believe they can make it to the playoffs? Do you think they can win in the playoffs?
No, I am not going any farther than making it in. Because as we've seen enough times, the 2019 Nationals, the 2022 Arizona Diamondbacks, the 2022 Texas Rangers, like, we could point to so many teams with this new playoff format who just got in and all of a sudden were able to piece together, you know, three hot hitters, four hot pitchers, and away we go. And caught fire for the month, and here we are. I mean, we could even go farther down the line of the Kansas City Royals. We could even point to some of those Giants team with Cody Ross and those Red Sox team with Johnny Gomes, you know, these guys that have been forgotten in baseball history who all caught fire at the right time and helped their team win a World Series and helped their team win the playoffs. I just want to get in right now, because once I get in, the deck gets cleared and we start from scratch once again. My heart believes they can get in. My head argues with my heart quite often, but my heart believes that they can get in. Andy, they're pitching so well.
Listen to you.
And they're scraping by on enough runs. You believe them? Do you believe this?
Yeah, there are two stories here. One, you know, you sit and go, okay, they were 15 and a half back, and they have a chance to still win the Central, right? So is that the Guardians are that good, or will the Tigers go down as the biggest choke in Major League Baseball history if they blow a 15 and a half game lead? I want to think of it from the Cleveland point of view, that this is just one of the greatest runs of all time, and unfortunately the Tigers were on the other side of it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice.
Well, in the same way that, oh gosh, there was that Athletics run about 10 years ago that was somewhat close to that. The Moneyball run that everybody knows well because of the
How about the Moneyball. Rockies run a few years ago?
Yeah, or the Rockies run. Yeah. And then they turned into making it to the World Series. They got shellacked, but they made it. You know, you're okay with, you know, especially that. But I want to believe. I really do. My number one fear in belief that is pausing it is the fact that even though we've talked about how good this pitching staff has been, and they've been awesome, like they've been unhittable, the offense still concerns me. I mean, the fact that we're talking about a hot streak right now, and you're still talking about a team that, again, and if you missed it a little bit earlier, I picked August 25th because that was when they just got done getting swept by the Rangers and were about to go 2 of 3 from the Rays and start going on this run where they've won all these games. So yes, arbitrary, but it feels like that was a pivot point. From that moment on, the offense has been a .230 batting average with a .295 on base and a .385 slug, which is still below league average. Like, that's the one thing that causes me to pause is what happens if a Logan Allen gives up four runs? What happens if, you know, let's say a Slade Ciccone gives up four runs, five runs? Do you have enough juice to come back? That's the one thing that scares me with this team of going both feet. They're making it in. Let's go. This is Team of Destiny. Let's have some fun. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. It makes sense. I'm just having fun. I got to be honest with you. I know that if they don't make it, I'm going to be disappointed. Or if they do make it and they get to the playoffs and they get knocked out in the first round, I know I'm going to be disappointed because it's going to be hard for us to turn around and say, oh, man, look how great this was. Because right now we're in the moment. Right, everyone's in the moment right now, and we actually had a phone call. Did we mark that phone call? Hey, maybe we should take a look at the Dolans and go, huh? They've only been mathematically eliminated. What was he saying? What was the stat? They've only been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs for 10 games over the last 10 years or so, or 30 games over the last 5 years, something like that. I mean, someone actually gave the Dolans credit today. How about that?
No, it doesn't happen very often.
No,
I give them credit, but I will sit back and give them credit, but I will also sit back and look at them and say, hey, pony up a smidge. You're kneecapping yourself by not spending where you need to spend to help this team.
Mike is North Ridgeville. Hi, Mike.
What's happening, Mike?
Hey, what's happening? Hey, this is Mike who rolled down solo yesterday, the game. Giving you a little recap.
How was it? It had to be awesome.
Listen, man, there was a bunch of Cleveland people down there. Detroit was popping, and let me tell you, I sat next to Detroit and Cleveland people, and the Cleveland people are definitely in it. The Detroit people, they know their bats are sour, man, and they know they got good pitching, but it ain't all working, and we're up on the upswing. I mean, I can't disagree with Dan when he said, what he just gave about his pitching and his hitting. That's so true. I mean, we're picking up Noel. Noel hit a home run. When was the last time he hit a home run?
It's been a hot minute. It was great to see.
So we're getting the hits at clutch time, but I worry about if our pitching does struggle. That's where I'm worried. So the bats got to get hot. But other than that, man, it was a great game.
Do Tigers fans feel like they're standing on quicksand right now? I mean, you were at the game yesterday. Yeah. Do they feel like it's all slipping away? They're like, we are going to blow this 15.5 game lead.
Yes, absolutely. I was standing next to a couple guys and talking to a couple different people, and they're putting their heads down. Their tails are between their legs. Totally. So we got them on the ropes. We're going to see them again, man. Cleveland's got to step up. Keep hitting.
That's all it takes. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
It's excellent.
Glad you had fun yesterday.
Are you trucking to Minnesota as well, or is that too far?
Well, you know, I am retired.
It's a boring as sin drive. But Minneapolis is pretty.
I know, but I guarantee I'll be going back to Detroit when we go there. So buy your tickets now. See you guys.
Good deal. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Yeah, it would be weird if you end up playing. Say you, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but let's just. Well, you know, what would be nice is if they didn't have to sweep Detroit when they play them.
I mean, Guards again. Fans, Minneapolis is pretty this time of year. You can see all the they got all the Charles Schulz Peanuts character statues. You can go see those. Minneapolis is pretty this time of year.
Wait, is that their equivalent of guitars?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole park that's got all the Peanuts characters.
Really?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, we have...
As someone who loves Peanuts.
All right, so we have one step in the Superman direction here then, right?
We're getting closer.
We got one. Who's the next superhero that needs to have their...
Oh, shoot. I don't know. Somebody smarter than me can have that one.
Funky Weaker Bean, right?
Well, wait, isn't the guy who
Tom's
wrote...
from here.
I think the guy who wrote Captain Underpants is from around here.
Oh, is he?
I think so.
All right.
I might be incorrect.
I'm not down with the Captain Underpants theme. The whole I'm too old for that.
My niece and nephew are all in on Captain Underpants. They think it's like the greatest thing ever. And right. Dogman.
All right, I'm done. All right, let's. We'll talk Guardians a little bit more later in the show. We'll get into that. Again, man, what a ride this is. How much fun is it? And how much are you enjoying it? 216-474-0092. Now I want to switch gears and, you know, here we go. Browns Packers coming up on Sunday. Matt Wilhelm's going to join us. We had a conversation a few moments ago before we got hit the air. And you know me, I like all off season as I listen to Jeff, you know, dribble up and down for a quarterback who's now in Las Vegas in Kenny Pickett. Up and down. That's all I want to talk about. Kenny Pickett's the answer, man. He could be the answer. Maybe. I want to see what he looks like. He could be the answer. Okay. I respect that. But I was all behind Joe Flacco. I was all behind Joe Flacco last year, too. But they didn't want any part of that going up against Deshaun Watson and having us having the possibility of having your starting quarterback get booed the first game of the season. So Joe Flacco ended up going to Indianapolis, and now here he is now. And I wanted Flacco to come back here. I still feel good about it. If they want to start him every game for the rest of the season, I'm probably not going to be happy about it, but I understand why they're doing it. And I do want to see one of the two young guys at some point. If they go 0-3, to me, the season is basically over. I mean, you're talking about being only the second team since 2000, if you really want to get to the postseason part of it, which I guess maybe I'm just an idiot because I want them to win. And if whatever happens in the draft happens in the draft. You got two picks in the first round. Wouldn't it be great if they were the last two picks in the first round because they had such a good season? Well, no. If our pick naturally would be the last pick in the first round, that's not going to happen. So the thought of going 0-3 is devastating. Doesn't feel good. History tells you you're doomed for the rest of the year, and you may as well just wait for the draft. I almost would rather hit fast forward and get to the end of the season if they go to 0-3 this weekend.
So, all right, let's pivot for a second on the tail end of what you just said there. The Morning Show brought this up this morning. It was a good point. We all looked at each other in the beginning of camp, and we saw the FanDuel number that came down the pipe. It said 4.5, and I think it made its way to 5.5.
Yeah.
And we all looked at each other and went, yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
And then something happened in the month that now we're like in the middle of it, and we all forgot that we looked at this and went, yeah, that sounds about right.
But you didn't want to think about win one coming till week six. And you knew, and here's why. Because they should have won the first game against Cincinnati.
I mean,
and the brightest thing I think I heard anybody say, which it might have been,
I should have played the afternoon ball show, and we'd be having a different story right now.
No, there's a difference here. That first game, the offense played well enough to win. The defense played more than well enough to win. Shut down two of the best wide receivers in the game, and a quarterback whose upside was tremendous till he ended up getting hurt week two.
They always play Cincinnati well. They always do.
So they I think Browns fans walked out of that first game going, man, we should be 1-0. Now, the second week, I think we're all going to learn as time goes by that they got their doors blown out by the best team in the NFL, the second best team in the NFL. I don't care how you want to look at it. They're a top three team in the NFL. The Ravens are. But no one wants to accept that because we saw 21 points virtually gifted to Baltimore. When their defense ends up with, a return for a touchdown, a play from the 1 yard line to get a touchdown, and then a 23 yard drive. It's hard to get mad at the offense. It's hard to get mad at the defense on those plays. Sorry. And then you go back and look at the statistics that show you the Browns are number one defensively in a bunch of categories. There was reason to believe that this team could win more than four games. There is. There should be. If you just look at the defense, you'd say to yourself, they should be 1-1.
Is it also because of 2 years ago when this defense was all world and the offense was bad? We'll just go with bad. And they managed to somehow pull this off with P.J. Walker and all sorts of reverses. And, we were laughing at the time. You and I were doing these shows looking at each other going, they are just like, this is duct tape, chewing gum, twine, and like just a little bit of Loctite. And that was like the nicest thing that they were using to keep this thing together. And they managed to score just enough points. Is that the part of it that you're looking at and making everybody mad? Because my brain is malfunctioning at how mad everybody is over this team. And I'm looking around going, we all knew this was coming. We saw this. We all looked at it a month ago and went,
but we didn't want to stare. You don't want to stare down the barrel of 0-3 to start the season. And you know it. I know it. Everybody knows
why?
It.
I'm heading
because
south
you want to have some, but you want to have a little bit of hope that maybe you're wrong, that maybe your team can win, that maybe your team can go to the playoffs. When you hit 0-3, all the cans become cans, garbage cans. That's what they become. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call into the show. Matt Wilhelm, he understands Packers-Browns. Spent enough time around here. Grew up in Elyria. Played for Ohio State. He's done all kinds of analysis when it comes to the Browns. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he played for the Packers, too. He's next right here, Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, Dan Menigan is in today. You know the Browns play right here on the Browns Radio Network at 1 o'clock. They will take on the Green Bay Packers, guy who has a ring with the Packers. Super friend of the show. He's been with us since the day one, I would say, as a good friend of the show. And we have him on intermittently because we love to talk to him. He is Matt Willem. He is on the fan hotline. Hello, Matt. How are you, my friend?
What's happening, Matt?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, we are excited to have you on. You know, we were sitting around before the show talking about this, and I was like, Matt has to have the answer for this. What makes the Packers the organization that they are, and especially when you compare that to the Browns?
It is a great question, and I think I do have somewhat of a well-thought-out answer. So I think what makes the Packers unique is, A, and it's not that the Browns don't have this either, is the history. You know, the trophy they give you is named after the coach. They had the early successes of, you know, the Super Bowl victories and championships, just like the Cleveland Browns did prior to the Super Bowl. And then I think what also makes the Packers extremely unique is unique to, again, the 32 football teams in the National Football League is they don't have an owner. And so their ability to kind of like draw a line in the sand and follow a structure of how they want to run the organization. There's no input from an owner. And again, this is nothing against, you know, the owner of the Cleveland Browns. I'm saying it could be Jerry Jones. It could be Robert Kraft. It could be, you know, the Haslam family. They have football individuals running that department, and they are very collaborative, and they have a very like set in stone way of going about business, and they stick to it. And I think we saw small little deviations here in the past, maybe, you know, 5 to 7 years with some spending via free agency, but otherwise they're actually a lot like more like the Steelers than they are any other team in the National Football League, who just is dedicated to building through the draft, drafting well, developing that talent, giving those guys, you know, years to develop and then hit, and then re-sign those guys to big contracts. And I think you saw it happen with, you know, at the quarterback position, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. Why, when you have Brett Favre still playing like a Pro Bowler, would you draft the heir apparent? Yet they did, and that worked out very well. Here you have Jordan Love being drafted or trading up to draft Jordan Love, while you still have Aaron Rodgers in his prime in a Super Bowl window, and yet look how that worked out for this organization. And on the flip side, not in any regard of, you know, talking negative, but it's a fact. You know, the Browns, year in, year out, or every 5 years, you know, make their best attempt to find their franchise quarterback, and yet they can't. So I think that's a big differentiator of how these organizations have been run for many years.
That's fascinating, Matt, and I appreciate the insight more than anything else. What's it like being on a practice field and not seeing the owner like standing there, or not hearing anything from the front office, and knowing that there is a plan through the whole thing? Does that permeate through the clubhouse, that there's faith in everybody there, or do you look at it and go, this is kind of weird?
It absolutely looks, you know, kind of weird, but I'll be honest, like as a player, from a player's perspective, it's I'll just say, you know, going back to my time with the Chargers, the Spanos family. So anytime, you know, Dean Spanos or the, you know, old man Alex Spanos, who's now, you know, deceased, or any of the Spanos family members that, you know, are the powers of that organization as an owner, you dial it in, you button it up, you walk a little bit with your head held high and your chest out, and you're, you know, extremely respectful when they're around, or you see them sitting, you know, on the perch watching practice. But that's the same with, you know, the team president or the general manager of the Green Bay Packers. You know, they're the individuals that decide whether you have a job or not. And so you have to, you know, mind your P's and Q's. So it's the same. I mean, structurally, they're different, but it's the same in regards to how you should act when those powers are, you know, in the building, you know, in town, watching practice, in the building, walking around through the halls, or in some cases, as you get to know and you spend some time in an organization, you know, how much input and are those guys watching film? Are they a part of big, massive meetings? Or this is something that is very touch and go from an ownership standpoint.
How surprised were you when they picked up Micah Parsons, when they were able to make that trade?
I played for the Packers, but I have some, you know, some friends and family members that are longtime Packers fans ahead of me ever playing for them. So it was just kind of icing on the cake that I did. So we sometimes stay in touch and text about what's going on with the Packers. And when there was that rumor, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ahead of him actually becoming a Packer, it wasn't a surprise. And here's the reason why. And I'll use, you know, Myles Garrett as the perfect example is, you know, and I'll go back to, you know, if Deshaun would have worked out for the Browns, you know, you pay and lock up the players at premium positions when you believe you're in your Super Bowl window. And so I believe the Packers, you know, again, who don't, in this case, don't have an owner that they need to pay out because the money cycles right back into, you know, the stadium, the remodel, the roster, and there's no, you know, minority owners taking money out of the venture, which are the Green Bay Packers. So this is your opportunity with Jordan Love, you know, in his late 20s, and what you believe you've drafted well in a roster that gives you an opportunity to compete for or win the NFC North for this foreseeable future. You add a guy who's 25, 26 years old, who's got a decade worth of what you believe is the best football still ahead of him. You bring him into that roster and you continue to open your Super Bowl window and get to the point where you're competing to win your division now with an elite pass rusher. You lock him up long term so that you can just kind of move on and focus on other portions of the roster. So I thought it was a great move. It was, and again, he was the family members were a little against giving up so much, you know, the future ones and Kenny Clark and also paying him that kind of money, locking up that kind of money. But that being said, when you don't have an owner to take out money of an organization, you can just spend it. And I also believe the other side of the coin is, you know, the Packers are going to be a 9-win or better team almost every single season. So that those number ones that they gave up in exchange for Micah Parsons are going to come in the late teens, early 20s or mid 20s of the first round where, yes, you get great players. Don't get me wrong. But you give up those chances by a proven commodity in Micah Parsons and his pass rush ability.
Matt Wilhelm joining us, former Packers linebacker, former Buckeye as well on the Fan Hotline. On top of that, Matt, they're so darn young. I mean, the only first round pick the Packers have really botched would be the Eric Stokes pick. And outside of that, everybody else who they've taken in the first round is having some level of impact on this team that it affords you to be able to give up two picks.
It does. So what you just mentioned about those first round picks or high round picks in Green Bay, along with the, you know, the culture and the way that they build, those guys, if they're drafted high, they're going to get, you know, they're going to play on the earlier side in Green Bay. So they're going to get them on the field. And I think that Van Ness kid from Iowa is the perfect situation where he hasn't been, you know, all that great, but he's playing and he's developing. And when he hits, you know, especially now opposite Micah Parsons, he's going to be a guy in 2 years that you pick up the fifth year option for and then probably negotiate a long-term deal. And maybe not pay him as a top 10 pass rusher in the NFL, but you lock him up and you stabilize that position group. And as I said, so many times for general managers and personnel guys, when you have guys locked up long term and they're producing or living up to expectation, it allows you to focus your money and in free agency and in your draft capital in other areas to kind of bolster it and bring it up to snuff. And you've got a team full of guys that go out and compete extremely hard. They want to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and they compete to win the division and compete to, you know, make a run at a Super Bowl trophy.
All right, Matt, let's swing to the Browns side of this. You were part of a really good defense on the 2010 Packers. This Browns defense is going nuts right now. What's it like playing on a defense that is playing that well and that fast, especially at the linebacker position?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's a testament to the defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, on not wavering from his defensive structure and building this roster. And again, it hasn't happened overnight. It's drafting well. It's having the coaches bought into the scheme, then getting the players that fit the scheme, and then getting the buy-in of those players within the scheme to just go. Like, again, and this is a pin your ears back and penetrate and be disruptive. I think we've seen, and again, unfortunately, he's, you know, out and done for the year, but what Owusu-Koramoah has been able to do at linebacker, the guy's 210 pounds. He just sprints and runs to the football. And that's because of the destructive nature of the defensive line that they're actually, and they only because I'm a, you know, defensive guy, they don't even really have a gap. They play a gap, but they just play knock back and penetrate, which allows, you know, the fit safeties and the linebackers to just run and make plays. And I think it's a very exciting time. It's also the reason why I think you see the Cleveland Browns not drafting these, like, you know, big bodies at linebacker. You can get away with 6'2", 210 or 6'3", 220, but they have to be able to run and they have to be able to cover. And I think that's what we've seen as an evolution of the National Football League and what it's become with the premium on quarterbacks, the premium on RPO, that you need linebackers to be able to play the run, but also be able to play the pass.
All right, Matt, we only got a couple minutes left. I need to ask you another question before we let you go. What is it like to sit with Matt Wilhelm, the father, while his son, who's a standout player here in Northeast Ohio, who's at St. Ed's, going to North Carolina? What's it like to sit with you at a high school football game, or would I not want to do that?
Well, Andy, I'm actually, the last 2 years, so Mason's junior, my son Mason, his junior year and this senior year, I've been helping coach at St. Ed's. So but I'm on the defense side of the ball appropriately, right, and he's over on the offensive side. But it, frankly, it's intense. There's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of motivating, I guess you could say. And a lot of the reason was, and frankly, this is a fact, is the reason why I'm coaching is because my wife couldn't handle me yelling from the stands. So she's just like, you know, I'm calling out plays. I'm, you know, yelling at my son or motivating, whatever you want to call it. She's just like, you might as well go be a coach. And so I got the opportunity, and I'm blessed to be able to be, you know, down on the sideline and, you know, aiding my son, but also more so than anything, just aiding the team and aiding these defensive guys, because they're just, as you could probably assume, so much in between my ears, given my experience, that I can give these kids to help them, you know, win football games at the high school level, and if they want to continue on at the college level as well. So it's a joy, but all week I'm kind of loose and laid back and really detail oriented, but on game day, I'm very intense. And,
can you enjoy it, though? I mean, it's a senior ride. Can you enjoy any of that and just say, man, you know, it's my son, man. It's more than football.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm enjoying it. And I think, you know, I would not be coaching, which is at practice every day and down on the sidelines and intense, you know, about the defense and for him, if he didn't want me down there. So right. It was, hey, man, would you want me to do this? And when he gave me the green light of like, yes, it was like, all right, cool. Well, you're in for a ride, man. You know that. I just bring a level of expertise and X's and O's given my past history. And there's just a intensity about me that, again, at a program like St. Ed's, it already existed. So I'm just magnifying it.
Right, and then I also want to double down. North Carolina, obviously, it's a unique situation over the last couple of years for Mason to be going to play there. I'm curious on your thoughts and going to play for having him play for Bill Belichick, knowing that you played at Ohio State. And I thought it was interesting, but then I thought it was super intriguing that's the direction your family wants to go in.
Same. Well, I mean, for first and foremost, for any Buckeye fan out there, Mason never got an offer from Ohio State. So Ohio State, for right now, at least doesn't think he's good enough to play at Ohio State. So that's why, you know, Ohio State is not on the radar, mm-hmm, for my son or for us as a family. Secondly, moving over to your question. So North Carolina, it checks a lot of boxes for Mason and for us as a family. You look at, you know, what Bill Belichick has done with undrafted free agents and late round picks over, you know, 15 years in New England, and him having an eye for a talent and his ability to develop that talent and turn it into Pro Bowl level players that is good enough to stay in the league for a very long time, make a lot of money, and again, Pro Bowls, all pros. So that player development, I think that's going to exist and really kind of get going after this season in North Carolina is very intriguing. And also, I mean, because of my wife, not because of me, my son's a very, very smart kid. So North Carolina is also a, you know, top five public education in the entire country. So we're going down there for football. We're going down there for Bill Belichick. Also, the Carolina blue uniforms don't stink. Right. But also, we're going down there for high education. And because, you know, life after football and or and again, if NFL football doesn't even exist for him, he's going to be set, you know, for, you know, set up very well with a great education and a great alumni base there at North Carolina as well.
Matt, you're a dear friend. I appreciate it. Best of luck to you, Vanessa, and the whole family, and good luck to him throughout the rest of the season, to Mason and everybody else. I really appreciate your time. You're a good man.
Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks,
guys. Thank you guys so much for having me.
We'll talk to you later. Matt Wilhelm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
And then I think what also makes the Packers extremely unique is unique to, again, the 32 football teams in the National Football League is they don't have an owner. And so their ability to kind of like draw a line in the sand and follow a structure of how they want to run the organization. There's no input from an owner. And again, this is nothing against, you know, the owner of the Cleveland Browns. I'm saying it could be Jerry Jones. It could be Robert Kraft. It could be, you know, the Haslam family. They have football individuals running that department, and they are very collaborative, and they have a very like set in stone way of going about business, and they stick to it.
Former Buckeye, former Packer, former Charger, former Leary Catholic standout. You know him and love him. He's Matt Wilhelm, and he just joined us on the Fan Hotline. Dan, he's Dan Menigan. He's in for Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Look, I think the one thing that we all look at when we look at the Packers, Dan, is we say it is interesting that they always seem to draft the next quarterback while they have a great quarterback. They kind of see the end of the road, and that they're willing to give said quarterback the time to grow before they actually have to be in the spotlight 24/7. And I think it's hard not to look at that formula and say, well, this is why it works in Green Bay. And then to want to emulate it. But for some reason, teams don't want to emulate it. They want instant success. They want to go out and trade for it. Or they want to throw a first-round draft pick out on the field within 30 seconds of the draft. And when you look at the Packer way, it's sustainable, and it has been for decades.
Andrew Brandt always had the great line, who, you know, I love having him on the show. I love talking to him about all things Green Bay because it kind of feels like you got the one guy who left the Packer mob who is willing to tell you how the mob thinks. You know, you typically, once you get into the family, you don't leave the family. Andrew Brandt left the family. And he's always right when he says, when it comes to Green Bay, the best time to draft a quarterback is when you have a quarterback. And so that's the problem that many of teams find themselves in, is if you're at the top of the draft and you're drafting a quarterback, it's because you don't have one. And so it's very easy to find yourself in a cycle where you're just throwing guys out there instead of letting anybody develop. It started with Don Majakowski and then them going and trading for Brett Favre. And Favre was going to sit until Majakowski got hurt. And then, you know, Magic Man goes down, here comes Favre. They haven't turned their back since. Drafted Rodgers, let him sit for, goodness, 2 or 3 years, somewhere in between there. Jordan Love sat for 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's the best time to draft a quarterback is when you don't have one. And the biggest fan of any team is the owner. That's the biggest fan on the face of this earth of your team. Like, Jimmy Haslam is the biggest Browns fan you'll ever meet in your life. As much as that may drive some people crazy. Why? Because his. It's his money in there, and he wants it to win because then he can go to the owners' meetings and brag like, "I'll get out" about how good he is at his job and how good
his teams are. I think that's overrated. I'm going to be honest with you. I hear a lot of people say that. It's no offense to you. I hear it all the time. I just like
what the biggest fan is.
Yeah, no. Do you think these guys? I mean, is the ego thing at the owners' meeting really that gigantic?
Yes.
Is that you really think so?
100% yes. You don't think Jerry Jones walks in there strutting his stuff?
No, but he's Jerry Jones. Like, who wants to be?
You don't think Robert Kraft was strutting his stuff the whole time, throwing his weight around? You don't think they gave Dan Snyder all sorts of hell for the fact that he can't get that team together?
I mean, it's like walking out of homecoming as the homecoming king and feeling like you're the homecoming king. And how long does that last?
If you are...
I wouldn't know. I wasn't the homecoming
king. Nor was I. I'm trying to think of the PC way to put this. That's why I'm stalling.
Yeah.
If you are the head honcho of the guy who won the whole thing and looked the best is you walk into a room full of 30 people who could also put their checkbooks in front of you, and the one thing that you've got over them is the fact that you whooped all of them in the thing that you own. You're not going to brag about that? All day, every day. All day, every day. That's the thing that the Packers
You know how
have.
We get on players for not just handing the football over to the referees and getting back and doing their job?
We mean.
Well, I mean, you know, I know that like, part of it, but, so but why can't why shouldn't we hold the owners to the same standard? Act like
you can't get rid of them.
Act like you've been there before and that you want to go back and win another one.
You can't get rid of them. You can't fire the owner.
Yeah.
You can't. It's the same argument of
I
why
want to
you
hold
fire
the owners
coach
to the same standards.
The
I want to hold the owners to the same standards that I would hold the players to.
Oh, but I'd love to. I would love to. The problem is you can't move on from these guys. I mean, it's. We've got laws for that that say, hey, you really can't force people to sell these things unless you're the NBA and Donald Sterling, and there's a lot of existential things, and same with Robert Sarver and a lot of existential things going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the Packers do so well is that it's a board, and the board appoints a president, and the president goes, this is what we're doing. Like right now, it's Carmen Policy's kid. I can't think of his name right now to save my soul, but it's Carmen Policy's kid, and he's looked at Brian Gutekunst and has said, this is the plan. This is what we're doing. And that was right after Ted Thompson stepped down, or Mark Murphy was forced to step down because of his age. And they went and got Carmen Policy's kid, and away we roll. I mean, that's the way that this works. They appoint football people as the president of football operations. Then that guy appoints a GM who appoints everything down from there, and everyone's on the same path.
Let's go to Kentucky. Ryan's in Kentucky. Hey, Rhino, how are you?
How are you, Ryan?
Hey, Menigan Baskins. Hey, gentlemen. Great conversation. Just want to chime in on the just unique scenario of the Browns, obviously, when it comes to, obviously, drafting, like you alluded to. Just an F, literally. I mean, the Packers, is as envious as we are as Browns fans and envious for you, Menigan, as being a fan of them, just knowing what they're doing, obviously, when it comes time to just drafting, just an abundance of riches, obviously, would dating back to Bart Starr, obviously Favre being traded from Atlanta, et cetera. Just knowing what they're doing from the top to bottom with the GMs and the front offices. I mean, I want so badly to our organization to just get it right when it comes to ownership and GMs and just drafting. I mean, our arch rivals in particular, the Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, just they're not just drafting first-rounders that are serviceable players. They're drafting Hall of Famers, man. And we're stuck here, obviously, just – Justin Gilbert's and Johnny Manziel's. It's just that's how it all starts. That's how a locker room's evolution of a winning mentality starts. It's just by getting it done right in the beginning origins, obviously, which is the draft and the front office, et cetera, and then worry about the Hectors and the Joes and the X's and O's as it comes along. But with that being said, I mean, it's just another unique scenario with just kicking rocks and shaking your fist at the sky as a Browns fan, while the Packers are just – love and life. And Menigan, I'm sure you are too right now with the trades and everything about it is it's the complete polar opposite from the Browns. Hats off to you guys and the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ravens. But at the same time, I'm envious as a Browns fan. I just feel this is just one of those years again, but hopefully we can do it right somehow, some way. Hey, great interview real quick with Matt Willem. That St. Ed stuff is really cool.
It is, isn't it? I think it's definitely, thank you. Appreciate the phone call there, Rhino. Yeah. I do think he's in a unique position because North Carolina is in this. Like, if I said to you, and I said this, I think, right away when Bill took the job at North Carolina, I was like, why wouldn't you want your kid to play at North Carolina? I mean, I can't think of a better path to the NFL if anybody still respects what Bill did. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's. I don't know how it's going to work out. And I know it's weird, like, you know, like he banned the Patriots scouting staff from being there, but if the Patriots want to go see any of the North Carolina kids, they can just go on the road and see them.
There's a lot of funky stuff going on. I hope the on-field product overshadows what's going on with the funky stuff for the sake of all those kids.
Hmm. Roman is in Canton. Hey, Roman.
What's happening, Roman?
What's up, fellas? How we doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
It's beautiful here in Northeast Ohio. I just wanted to give you a call, and I want you to let me finish my point before you interrupt. There is no possible way Jimmy Haslam is the biggest Browns fan out there, and I'll give you one good reason why.
Yeah, prove me wrong.
Fans want their teams to win. And let me finish. It is not that Jimmy doesn't want the Browns to win. He clearly, you know, has made mistakes, and he's fed up with those, and he's made that point very clear. But Jimmy is going to make his money no matter what. Clearly, from what we've seen in the past, since he's bought the team, you know, the team has it's been more beneficial, and it has made him more money than it would have when he bought it. So he's not a fan of the Browns. He's a fan of making money at the end of the day.
But here's the other side of this, right? You're going to make money owning an NFL team no matter what. Like, you're going to make money hand over fist. It's the number one sport in the country. They keep signing more cable deals no matter how this goes. So how do you separate yourself? How do you make more money? How do you prove to everybody around you that you're better? You win. You win, you win, you win. It's why they are the biggest fan of their particular team. They have to walk into those meetings. And you don't think the other owners are pointing and laughing at Jimmy Haslam when he does silly things like draft Johnny Manziel? Or you don't think owners are pointing and laughing at him when you draft Justin Gilbert without meeting with him in person? Or you don't think owners are pointing and laughing when you do all these different things that make things go wrong? Like, that happens all the time with these meetings. Why? Because that's how you talk to your friends. You don't think these guys bust each other's chops like that? I mean, that's how humans operate. If you ever want to look into it, and I can never remember exactly which Michael Lewis book it is. I think it's The Undoing Project, but don't hold me to it. But he does a whole chapter where he talks to Daryl Morey, and Daryl Morey always says, I loved having the owner in the room when I made the choices with the Houston Rockets. You know, Daryl Morey from here was the Houston Rockets GM, now the Philadelphia 76ers GM. Because he goes, if I have the owner in the room with me, that's the pulse of the fans. Because the owner is the biggest fan of this team you're going to find, because he's the one who's signing the checks at the end. He's the one who's putting his name on top of it. That's why the owner is the biggest fan of this whole thing. Jimmy Haslam feels the same way. Jimmy Haslam wants his team to win more than you could ever possibly imagine. He doesn't, like, you don't buy it and then use it like, I want to tank this because I'm out of spite. You buy it because you want to make money and you want to win, and winning makes you more money.
And there you have it. And that's a segment. I'm just kidding.
And that's a segment.
And that's a segment. Tom Withers, our good friend from the Associated Press, emeritus, and sometimes sits down on the show, will be with us next. We're going to talk to him about the Browns. We'll get their point of view going into this week's game. Maybe some quarterback questions. Also, as we kind of look and see, you know, what's going to happen at this quarterback spot over the next couple weeks, because he may have some answers, and we'll get them from 216-474-0092.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.